the order.
Dispense with singing.
Yeah, please dispense with singing. All right.
I'm sure I have an agenda somewhere. Maybe I don't. I think we only have one item on it.
Yeah, I mean, we have the approval of the agenda.
There you
minutes.
Go. Thank you, Darrell. Yeah. I got one. All right. Public comment. We have another opportunity at the end of the meeting. If you're still awake, and still.
So, I would like to introduce Alana. Right, Alana is our intern volunteer. To come down, we had email correspondence. I'm not quite sure how she was connected to the city of Brevard and Daniel Cobb. Daniel, the city has done a really great job of having interns over the last number of years. Daniel did not have an opportunity, copied me on a correspondence, and we enjoy myself talked to Alana, and thought there could be a connection here. Her specialty is historic preservation and issues related to that, and so Joy is heading up the JHPC, Joint Historic Preservation Commission. Jointly, we are working with the Heart of Brevard, and Ron, I'll let you tell them a little bit about yourself and what you're going to be doing on that project.
So, I'm Alana. I'm going to be starting my junior year at the University of Mary Washington in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Where are you going?
University of Mary Washington.
Fredericksburg.
Mm-hmm. Fredericksburg.
I am a historic preservation major planning to minor in urban studies. And I'm working on the Heart of Brevard, sort of historic, they're highlighting some historic buildings there. So what I'm doing is I'm doing some research, and I'm going to be writing up basically one-page summaries of the history of those buildings and then what the buildings are currently used for, so that we can really highlight that sort of cultural heritage in Brevard.
With the intent being that on each building there will be a plaque or some type of identification on it, so that you will see a picture, a historic picture of the building, current picture, and then a description of what that property was used for in the past and what it is now, and both highlighting the history of the building as well as highlighting the existing business that is there. So we're kind of looking at history, planning, and community economic development. So.
Do you need $20 credit for this, I hope?
No. I mean, I can, but...
You have to pay for it.
She is not being paid by the county. That was the one thing that we have no funds for interns. The county does not pay for interns for liability purposes. And so they have to volunteer. It is a complete volunteer, and we are very grateful. And Alana's here. She has her roommate, lives here in the county, and is staying with her roommate and her family for about a month. So we're benefactors of the Elliots right now. So I'm glad you're here. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
So you still have anything else to say? Okay, we'll move on. Approval of agenda. Any changes necessary to the agenda?
Maybe we approve the agenda.
Second.
All right. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? There are none. Next item, approval of minutes. Did I get a chance to look at the minutes from last month? If so...
I just found a silly little grammatical error on page 3, halfway down. Joy Fields recommended conditional approval of the McCrary.
I will make that change.
Okay.
All right. Any other corrections? Any discussion about the minutes?
Move to approve.
Second. All right. Okay, we've got
approved
it.
Amended.
Approved as amended. Okay. With the grammatical change, any discussion, any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? There are none. Okay, Joy has the subdivision approvals and updates. I don't know if she passed. I'm sure she did. But go ahead.
With only 3 weeks since the last planning board meeting, we did not see much activity. But we had four exceptions and one two-lot subdivision.
Any questions for Joy regarding the subdivision approvals and updates? All right, thank you.
Congratulations, by the way. Yes. You just got an award or something.
Recognized.
What does that mean? They go, hey, that's Joy, or
yeah,
or she got a free donor.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Okay. That's super cool.
They appreciated me for my work on the grant from JHPC, and the RFP process that has been taking place for the Allison Dever House. We've had an RFP open since April 12th, and we're hoping that local contractors or contractors submit bids on Monday to help restore the roof and fix some of the issues that is allowing or that are allowing water to intrude into the Allison Dever House.
Not an easy task. Because we're dealing with the state, SHPO State Historic Preservation Office, and so you've got to meet their requirements. We're working with the Historical Society and trying, that's a volunteer group, and then you're trying to find contractors that can understand how to do corrective work, not as if you were working on your house, but to specifications that are designed by a specialist, John Horton. And that actually was a very long process, and Joy has been very much engaged the entire time. It's an $11,000 grant being matched by the Historical Society, and it's going to take every bit of that amount plus their money to put a new roof on there and do the work. It's not just a simple roof.
So when do you think work will begin? Have any clues for when it's scheduled?
It needs to be complete by the end of August. So hopefully contractors can find time between other projects that they have going on to spend a week or two at Allison Dever House.
Are there any historical, I know we're way off topic here, running rabbit, but are there any historical people who do that kind of work in the county? Any contractors?
There has been a couple that have worked on historic properties in the past. There's one that highlights the historic ways of doing woodworking, and they may be qualified. We'll see once we get the bid.
There's also, I sincerely hope somebody from here gets it, but if not, you may want to contact Biltmore. They had a bunch of folks from AB Tech that mostly did interior, but they may do that kind of work as well. They brought in students from AB Tech under a contractor to restore some stuff when I was working there.
Cool.
When Biltmore was a cabin. That's how long ago it was. But but now it's, I mean, that program I think is still ongoing at AB Tech, so while I hope somebody gets it, if not, that could be an alternative.
That's a great recommendation. Thank you.
Well, I'll stop chasing rabbits and then go back to work. Old business. Signed ordinance.
Everybody should have gotten a copy of changes that staff, primarily Joy, but Joy drafted changes. I've taken a look, made suggestions, asked questions. Joy came and went back, and Joy has provided you with the text. We have it up on the screen. I think as you saw last time, you know, I wasn't here. You can see the changes being made tonight if you want, but I'm hopeful that what you've had a chance to read prior to tonight makes sense, and you can go through it fairly quickly. It's Joy's show, so it's all yours.
Two items that were discussed at the last planning board meeting, you all requested that I measure the landscaping sign And if you noticed in the comment field, the landscaping sign that was involved in the tower application was 18 and a half feet from the white line on 276.
Mm-hmm.
So it's close to the 20 feet that is required. So that being said, 18 and a half feet.
So no close calls while you were measuring or anything?
No.
Okay. I'd been out there if you had somebody drive by.
I have to work harder, I guess. Anyway. Thanks for doing that, because
yeah.
that was really good visual.
While I was out, I also saw a sign on a smaller road, Barclay Road and Country Club, where they come together. There's a sign there that is visible. It's not within dangerous closeness to traffic, and it was only 11 and a half feet, but it's a smaller road. So one thing to think about as we think about these, our roads in this county, if we want to look at highways differently than state-maintained roads, that could be an option to address the concern that 20 or 25 feet from the edge of the road is too far for our wooded country roads.
That one you're talking about at Country Club and Parkway is actually down.
It is.
Right.
It's, yeah.
There's a
drop off. It's very.
Right.
It is.
So if you're going to hit that one, you're already in trouble.
Yeah, very much so. Mm-hmm.
Is
20 feet too far?
Or is it not far enough? Certainly, if that one on Barclay and Country Club, 20 feet would make no real sense.
No, it would be in the woods on the pit stops.
If that one was 18.5, then 20 is probably excessive. But I don't know how you word it differently.
So the right of way is going to be your, if there is a right of way, it's just going to be on larger thoroughfares. So you don't have to worry about that. Right of way is going to cover that distance for the sun.
Okay.
So on the smaller trenches, on smaller roads, 20 feet may be too much, and so maybe 15, 18 from the white line would be appropriate.
White line being the sideline?
The sideline, yes, sir. Yellow line being in the center.
Okay.
Yes. So it would be right of way, the edge of the right of way, or no closer than fill in the blank on the edge of the travel way, whichever is greater. And I'd find 15.
For the four lane?
Four lane's going to have a right of way.
Yeah.
So it's going to be outside of the right of way. And so it's going to be a road that has, I think the right of way is going to be ditch to ditch in all likelihood. And so then you're looking at the white line being the guiding factor on.
Right, but you're saying we talked about two different possible standards, one for the four lane, one for the highway, one for the county road.
But this addresses that.
Right, that's what I was just clarifying.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it addresses it because it's either going to be the right of way or 20 as it reads now, or 50, whichever is greater.
Right.
And the right of way is going to be greater than probably almost ever.
Right. Okay, gotcha.
Well, I'm going back to her example.
15 would be
probably in the woods there. I don't know, but I'm very familiar with it. I see it several times a day sometimes.
Forest Lane Country Club?
Right, and it is already off of the level part of the road down a little embankment.
But not all roads have that little embankment.
Embankment, so.
So how can it be applied to all roads?
This is one of those things where man has latitude.
Well, current signs that exist are grandfathered in by the non-conforming clause. They're non-conforming at the time of the sign amendment or the amendment to the sign control ordinance.
Well, I go back to that. If that guy came in today and he had to be 20 feet, he probably would not be happy.
Is there any way to do it?
15 feet, he probably would.
Any way to do an appeal process? I mean, if I have no problem with it being 5 feet off, if it's not going to cause a problem. If there's an appeal process, I mean, you have a standard. Mm-hmm. But if there's a deviation from the standard.
There's an appeal process from the sign owner.
Right.
Not an appeal process from us.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
We're not
going
to be able to say, well, you want 5, we'll hold it. We're going to appeal because we think it should
be. No, I agree with you. But if they say, well, they bring pictures to us or we go to the site and it's very clear that it's not causing a problem.
And we've done that.
Right.
Remember, we've talked to Wade.
Yep. Well, I didn't go to the meeting because I excused myself. Yes, I got it.
But we've looked at that
before. Yeah, well, we had the other one out on 276 when the gentleman moved his sign or something. So as long as there's a way for a sign owner or a property owner to make an appeal,
there is.
Then, if it's there, you got to have a standard, I understand.
That's where I was going.
Yeah,
got to have one.
So what is the process by which they would do that? Let's say we say 15 feet. Somebody says, "Well, I've got a mountain coming out here, so 12 feet as far as I can go." And so, do you somebody from your office have to go out and actually physically look at it, or do they have to come here, or how does that work?
So, section revised 21. It was section 23 at the very end of the document is appealed.
Yeah.
And basically what that does is it sets up a process that allows the sign owner to come in. And they're working with us, and they're going to probably say, look, here's the situation. It's not visible. It's not going to create a problem. Is there any latitude here? And then enforcement officer is going to take it to the planning board. Planning board is going to look at the circumstances as presented by the property owner, sign owner, take staff's recommendations, and then you as a board make a decision on that. And our way of looking at things is we have generally been pretty lenient in terms of recommendations if it makes sense. Now, there could be a situation where somebody comes in, they really want it, and you look and say, that's going to create a hazard if you try to make it any less, and the recommendation would be no. But generally, there's good cause, and staff has not had that.
In the two that we've had since I've been on the board, they've brought pictures, measurements, everything to us, and it's just like we did the cell tower here the other night, same thing.
Yeah. Okay. So they come to us, they do all the work, come to us. You don't have to go running around and chase these things down.
Not necessarily. That would be the ideal situation. They come to us. But it probably, in all likelihood, it could be a situation where we find out somebody put a sign up and it's an illegal sign, and then we have to go back and forth. But it's still, you'd end up with the same process where we say, we understand what you're doing, you've got to permit it, we cannot allow it to be here, but the planning board is an option. So
we would still have to write a notice of violation?
If they got it without a permit. Hopefully they don't. Hopefully they come in the Toxaway situation, the other situation, they came in and said, here's what we'd like to do, permission please. And it was easy.
And with that being said, I'm fine with 15 feet, and as long as there's a way to make that less. I'm good with that.
The main reason you want off anyway is if the guy goes off the road, he needs recovery.
Right.
Yep. Notice that I said guy.
No. I heard that.
I think that makes sense. Given the history that we've had with SARNs, I think that's fine.
Yeah.
And that takes into account the side roads better.
So what was the other thing at the last meeting that you guys covered?
Two things. Well, I forgot about the 500 feet from any personal residences. You guys were supposed to think about that over the last 3 weeks and think about what you could live with, how close a billboard could be from your bedroom window. Is 500 feet too far, or is it perfect? Leave it as is, don't modify it.
What do you guys think on it? That's from a property line from a structure.
From a structure.
Yeah, the personal residence.
The personal residence.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking in terms of a football field. I mean, that's a pretty good distance, 300. Is that too close for anybody? Or?
It would be too close to my house. 300 feet.
Okay.
I'm very comfortable with 500 feet. I mean, you think about a billboard being that close.
Especially with billboards down the road are going to be illuminated
in
some form or fashion.
One thing to think about this is Matt brought up a billboard. And for those who weren't here at the last meeting, that's what we want to think about, because off-premise signs can be that large. But it covers anything from the size of a piece of plywood to a billboard.
Right.
So
I think when this was originally written, we were thinking about that 150 square foot sign that you see primarily going up 280, those signs along that way. And when we did this, we looked at the number of other ordinances, and it ranged from 100, 500, 1500. And so there was a big range. 500 was what planning board a long time ago thought was a reasonable amount. And it's really for the protection of property values of people that are already living there. The owner of the property where the sign is getting the benefit of the lease or the rent from that.
Do we
want to
leave it as is, or
would
we?
I'm not, but I'm probably going to lose that one. What do you want? That's 150 yards. I mean, that's a lot of space. I'm not sure we're not eliminating completely an opportunity for somebody to make income. That's my concern. I know there's concerns with the neighbors. I got all that, but at the same time,
they got the appeals process as well.
Right. If we go back to an appeal.
And the appeals process in that case, the planning board could ask property owners, notify the adjoining property owners. Mm-hmm. Adjoining property owners don't show up.
Right, and that's the answer.
I share the same concern, and I'm only okay with it because there isn't a filter.
Right, I'm very, I'm very concerned about us boxing someone in, but as long as we can keep going back to that appeal, I'm okay with it. It's a tough situation to have to look at the neighbor and at the property owner and this person's rights. Overcome this person's right to make an income. It's a tough situation, so
which person's right?
Right. So if we can have a good, solid appeals process, I feel comfortable with that. I'm more comfortable with that.
I got to say about the house and the guy next door has a 300-foot frontage and he wants to put a sign. He couldn't do it. We couldn't approve it.
Right. Right.
And that would be. Who do you look after in that case? Because both of them have a valid concern.
So, is that appeal process in place? Does it go back to the one
that you showed? It goes back to that same appeal
process. In that process?
I mean, the way the ordinance reads, somebody's going to look at it and say it's 500 feet.
Right.
But if they're good, they'll come back and say, Should I appeal that? And the answer is yes.
Okay.
Anything in this ordinance is
nomination people.
Yeah. You can appeal it. You can say, staff, I don't like your decision. What's and the response would be you could take it to the planning board.
Right. Okay. That makes me feel much more comfortable with
that. That's true.
Yeah, throughout the process.
Yeah.
But okay. In the way I look at it, we're going to be going through a lot of citizens. I mean, people are going to be. It's nice if we have a numbers are reasonable, and we don't have to depend on appeals. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of public comment, right?
We've not had a lot of issues with this.
Yeah,
or we really have not had a lot of them. None.
Right. That's a good. That's a good question to ask.
That's what I was thinking. I don't recall any big issues with it. And how long has 500 feet been on the...
Since the initial ordinance. Yeah.
I think, you know, most places in the county where you're going to have a huge sign will be affected by this, it's already there. But, you know, I'm comfortable with the fact that it hasn't been a huge issue. The 500 feet, I think if it was, you know, if it was going to be a big issue affecting the citizens and their ability to, you know, use their property the way they see fit. We've seen multiple situations by now. And when that one does arise, there is the appeal process.
That's the way I feel comfortable about an appeal process. Yeah. I'm good.
The third thing for Section 5 that we discussed was the third, with a sign face 32 square feet or less, they do not require a permit. We discussed that with building and permitting as requested, and they would feel much better if there was some guidelines as to how these pieces of plywood would be installed if there's not a permit required. And they suggested 4-inch poles and 2 feet of concrete. Now, so that do we want to add that, or
how does that?
I guess thinking about that is you're not going to require a permit, and if they don't have a permit, what's going to trigger you, the enforcement officer, to go out and look at it? I mean, I think you could put in there in parentheses, you know, it is recommended. You know, like the subdivision ordinance, we make sure that it's very clear that DOT will not take a right-of-way less than 50 feet, even though we have a right-of-way of 45.
Is there a way, Mark, to... I'm sorry, were you finished with what you were going to say?
Go ahead.
I was just wondering, is there a way to... short of a permit to put the onus on the property owner, that as long as nothing goes wrong, you're good. But if it doesn't, you should have had that done. I mean, I'm just asking. Because I'll say this loudly enough because one day I'm going to have to get something built, but I hate the word permit. Mm-hmm. But I'm comfortable if the onus is on the property owner to say, hey, if nothing goes wrong, but if it does, here's what we recommended that you should have done. That's my question.
Does that do that?
I don't think you get away with that.
I mean, you know, that's it's common sense way. But
why could you not get away with that?
You're not permitting it. So how do you as the county go back out and say, make sure that it was done?
If it fails.
And if you build something, you want to see that there's a 2 foot, you know, 2 feet of concrete, and actually it would be 2 feet of concrete is probably not even the right term on that. You'd want a hole that's 2 feet filled with concrete.
I started to say, where is that 2 feet? Well, I guess my concern would be, maybe everyone feels differently. My concern is if you put a sign up and it doesn't happen, there's not going to be any reason for it. If something does happen, then you go back and say, well, we recommended that you have these guidelines. You obviously didn't follow them. It's your fault.
Well, is this a recommendation? This is not a recommendation, is it? This is the actual ordinance.
I'm just asking the question. Is there a way to do that?
Oh, is there a way to make
that? And it puts the onus back on the property owner.
In the event.
You probably should do this, but if nothing ever happens.
I think if you approach it from the standpoint, in the event. I forgot how to word it, how to say it. The sign's not properly secured, causes damage, or an accident or something of that nature. Then what Mike is talking about would come into play.
Right. I make a suggestion, and then we need to run this by the new county attorney. Mm-hmm. Where it says, do not require permit, comma, change the word but to however, signs must be securely, shall be securely affixed to the ground. And I think that's all you need. I think, I don't even know you have to put four inch poles and 2 feet of concrete. And then it goes down, however, sign shall be securely affixed to the ground.
Yeah, that leaves a lot of leeway as to what securely means.
Well, if it's down here a little over.
Yeah, that's true. It's not
secure. I guess, it, yeah.
But if a tornado comes through, then.
Well, yeah, I mean, if a tornado comes through, or.
Heavy wind or something
we
like that.
We have bigger problems.
Yeah.
I'm just, what I'm saying is if. Because you didn't do what you were supposed to do, and it causes a problem with somebody else's property, damage, causes a car accident, you're on the hook. Because you had the recommendation of how to fix it. I don't know if that's, I'm just asking.
I'm sitting here thinking that if I came to you people and wanted to put the sign up, and I read do not require a permit, I would shake my hand and walk away.
That's exactly right. I agree with you.
So how do we make
you, it? You would, if we worded it the way we're talking about, you would still have the responsibility of securely.
It's your, yeah. It's your responsibility to
affix. Whether you have a permit or not, it's your responsibility to have the sign securely installed.
Who's going to check that? Well, no one will check it unless it fails. So
yeah. That's what I'm saying. Unless it fails, it's not a problem.
Yeah, right.
That's my opinion.
But that's why it's not a permit. I mean, the whole reason of not having a permit is because no one's going to go check it.
Nobody just not have to go out and look at it. And it
Mark, give me an idea of what kind of sign we'd be talking about here, for instance.
Sheet of plywood?
Yeah. Temporary yard sale or?
No, you've got going out 64, there's a pottery store on the left, and he's got a couple of signs up, and they're just on maybe 1x4s.
Yeah.
And it says pottery ahead.
Yep.
And that's the type of sign. That's not secure. Mm-hmm. A good wind will blow those things out. Well, I would venture a good guess that a good wind would knock those things down.
Yeah.
But they would not be, they're not permitted now, and they would not be permitted still.
Mm-hmm. I'm just asking if there's a way to do liability. If not, then we need to do something.
That's where I've got to go to the county attorney and ask the county attorney to put further guidance.
Would we accrue any liability because somebody put a sign up?
No, I'm talking about for the property. If they didn't do the suggested guidelines, and their sign blew out and hit your car,
okay.
At that point, there's personal liability. Up until that point, if you put the word securely affixed to the ground and it doesn't blow over, I think that meets the requirements. I mean, that's so. What I'm saying is that nothing happens until something happens. And then when it happens.
Then we got a mess.
That's what I'm. Is there a way to do it that way, or does?
And I think if you were to require, or even suggest for those particular signs,
mm-hmm.
a 4-inch pole set in 2 feet of concrete, that's overkill.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's just
right.
Which is the overkill? The 4 inches of pole or the 2 feet of concrete?
Yes,
both.
Yes.
So here's my question. This may be one for the attorney. If we don't specify, I'm perfectly fine with securely affixed to the ground. And by definition, if it comes up, it wasn't.
Right. Yeah.
If nothing happens, then obviously it was. If you specify 2 feet of concrete
right.
and then it comes
yeah,
up,
fails.
Then is it on us?
Right.
That's my question.
That's a good question.
I mean, who are we trying to protect from that? The city, the county, or the guy gets hit by the sign, or the sign installer?
Well, it's going to be more likely the property owner.
Right.
Who's going to be doing it. It's going to be just a jack sign.
Right.
Or is somebody just going to say, hey, they're going to do exactly like the pottery place. It's going to be somebody's got some paints, they've got a little piece of plywood, and they've stacking it, and that's it goes up that way.
Well, to use your phrase, the way he has it now is underkill. Because something's going to happen.
So what you're saying?
Termites probably do something before anything else. That's untreated wood. I mean, that's not going to last the season.
Right. So we just say shall be severely, securely affixed to the ground, and let it go with that.
That's what Joy has up there.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
That was just an editorial thing. The last two words in that sentence, and greater, we can take that off because we already say greater than 30 square feet.
Oh, thank you. That's a good point. Thank you.
Yeah, that last greater is not necessary.
Okay. So, section 5 is complete.
What if we reworded that just a little bit to say signs are required to be securely affixed to the ground?
Is that shall be?
Yeah.
Signs shall is that's a
in legal terms that means
you will do it. I mean, you're supposed to do it.
Okay.
Again, the question on this is if it doesn't require a permit, we wouldn't say anything. We don't have to.
Well, I just check with
that is nitpicky on the file the way it is.
We'll check with the attorney.
So section 6, the only thing was the distance. And we discussed having it as 15 feet, or the right-of-way, whichever one is greater.
15 feet would be consistent with the previous chapter.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I put it
yeah,
in the wrong spot.
That. Yeah.
No closer than 15 feet.
And it actually get rid of the feet in that first and then 15 and then you've got the feet.
Okay.
Keep that.
Okay.
There you go. There. Perfect.
Whichever is greater.
That's consistent.
Consistent. Temporary portable signs do not require a permit or fee, but must otherwise follow this ordinance. And sets forth again the distance.
Yeah.
15.
So you're going to spell it out.
I will.
Yeah, okay.
It doesn't need to be done right here.
Yeah.
For time's sake. Section 8 is maintenance. The change suggested here is for clarity and grammar.
And that's all. Too,
and that was all. Yeah. This. Transferring a sign or structure within 1 year of selling the business, we are allowing signs to be maintained as long as the sign is not enlarged or moved or altered that would increase the non-conforming condition. So is it required to have a sign permit transfer from the old owner of a business to the new one?
I don't think so.
So that was scratched for simplicity's sake.
Because the circumstances are going to be different for the new place.
Yeah, that's a different business. It's not using that sign.
If they're not using that sign, they can remove it.
Yeah.
And they can build a sign that meets the sign control ordinance. Or make an appeal and say, this existing sign has been here, and ours is
Well, what you're doing is changing the sign face at that point, and the ordinance allows for the sign face to be changed.
Right.
As long as you don't mind that, I'll throw the sign. No, the sign
face.
Right.
Yeah. That's what the maintenance allows. The first sentence here appeared to be redundant. So does it matter what kind of pole is supporting the sign? If the support structure is modified on a non-conforming sign, a sign that doesn't meet the ordinance requirements, then the entire sign structure shall be made to conform with the ordinance.
Which is standard anyway, right?
Yep.
So. When this was first drafted, there was a predominance of just the old wooden posts that were the basis for the sign support structure. And everything was moving towards large metal single column posts. And I can't even remember why we had to put wooden posts in there and changing that out. It really is not needed. I mean, if you're going to bring it up to standard, it doesn't matter if it's wood or metal. So that was it.
In permitting signs, an emblem is no longer given out, and because it didn't match practice and did not appear to be a requirement for having safe signs in the county, we recommend removing that.
I always wonder why you might just get those emblems.
Well, what are the implications to the enforcement officer that though? Is it if you drive by and you see something that looks funny and you can see the emblems on there and you know it's okay, or so we don't do it anymore?
We haven't said that.
Has it caused any issues? I guess that's a question we need to ask. Is
the ordinance has now been in place since 1992, so the signs that are there we've been able to document. What we were trying to do was differentiate signs that were existing from new signs going forward, but we've had so much time in there that emblems just no longer needed. So.
There is a permit fee that is determined by the county commissioners and posted in the building and permitting department. They are the department that are the sign enforcement officers and permit signs.
So they don't have that online? The permit's good?
It is. It's on the market.
Okay. All right.
But can we say that? Can we say online or
posted
in? I don't want to give a specific site on a website because that can change. But online or in the Transmedia County. Yeah, thank you, Mike.
I'm just thinking about things that would irritate me if I went to to read the ordinance.
There's also.
I heard you can actually talk to people on these things.
Oh my goodness.
But you can also look up.
Right. You have to press one for English too. Or
registering existing signs. That was a requirement in the past. And again, it seemed a historic relic. So we proposed removing that.
I saw Sandy and her husband, Bruce, earlier today and wanted to know where the videos were of that. I thought they were in our back office. Kaylin had the VHS videos that were back there digitized. We don't have access to the VHS. Those did not have it, so now we've got to go down to the basement and see if it's down there. And I also probably thought about calling Trish Hamilton to see if Trish might know where they are. So we'll find them.
Okay.
We're going to start up a YouTube channel and everything.
I said, look at them online. People would like seeing what the county looked like in 1990.
Yeah, I think it would be great.
It would, for sure. No, so I'm sure he's training post down there at that point.
Good, sure, and the bear. There was bear down there.
Yeah. Non-conforming signs. Legal non-conforming signs may continue to exist provided the sign is not changed or replaced, except during routine maintenance, which is allowed, on an existing sign. The sign is not expanded or modified.
Jordan, I'm going to go back to 17.1. We talked about that just a few minutes ago. We actually are saying that copy may be changed. Do we want to keep that in there, or is there a reason for striking that right there?
To know what the copy is, you have to read the definitions.
Okay.
So if someone is wanting to follow our sign control ordinance and they may not know what the copy is, do we want them to go back to the definitions to find out? Or do we want to just say routine maintenance? Either one is fine. Because it is defined as the sign fix. Or the...
No, it's right at the 1.1 copy. Characters, letters, illustrations.
Displayed on
the sign face. It would seem pretty natural to me. I'm reading an ordinance, I'll go to the definitions, but I don't know.
Okay.
I mean,
we can leave the copy there.
I don't know how everybody else feels it. What do they mean? So I gotta look up what they mean.
Well, I mean, we don't define routine maintenance, and that might be it.
Okay.
Good point.
What does that entail?
Well, routine maintenance is discussed in the maintenance section up here. But we can just send them to the definition, so that's right. Fine. So,
I would leave the copy may be changed.
Okay.
Just to make it clearer, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Section 16, the reasons given for denial of a permit. In practice, when people come into our office and request a sign permit or go into building and permitting, usually we work with them to get a sign that meets the ordinance. And we don't send a first-class mail reason for why we would not issue a permit if whatever does not conform. So we would propose to strike that and say clearly state the reason the permit is denied. Everyone deserves a clear reason for why a permit is denied. Whether it is stated and agreed on, or whether it's in writing.
Mm-hmm.
And we can still put it in writing.
I would like to see added to the end of this. I don't have a problem with the way that's worded at all. The only thing I personally would like to see added is where it's reading something along the lines, the sign enforcement officer shall clearly state the reason a permit is denied and provide explanation.
I'm talking about citation to the
I want us to explain why they were denied and also explain how to get them into conformity.
I may not be able to do that.
Yeah.
I can't sometimes help describe how to get out of stupid.
I understand that. I deal with that almost every day. I understand what you're talking
about. I do get it.
And provide potential alternatives?
I don't want us really getting into telling people how to do their signs, because then they'll fall back on you if there's a problem.
That's true.
But I do want to... I don't want us to be like, ah, it ain't gonna work. And send them packing. I know that we will, but I want it to be stated somehow or the other that we will provide.
So rather than just the office doing it, which we do,
yes.
You want it codified so that somebody can say you're supposed to do this. Mm-hmm. So that if you have a different office,
who knows when this is gonna be touched again, and you know, hopefully y'all are still gonna be around, but you know, if not, and the mentality of the office has changed, that would be a problem.
I also thought I heard you say something about citing the chapter and verse where...
Well, it would be clearly stated, right. Rather than reason, it would be, rather than reason, use the section why the permit is denied. And I think that's really all you need to do. Because you will already have the exchange... And saying, more likely you're going to say, if you do this, you're okay.
Yeah.
But if you don't do this, then you're going to have to appeal. But this is what the appeal's got to be on, whatever that section is.
And provide section of permit the proposed sign needs to conform to?
I would just say clearly state the section, the reason for section why the permit is denied.
Section.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of with you. I don't know. I don't want to get into telling them how to do it either. Because this is what this is, right?
Yeah, right.
So
right.
You did do this or you did do that. Mm-hmm. That's why. It's,
well, I think if you show them the code, if you show them that section, that's your
Do we need to highlight the sections of this ordinance?
You're not going to stay for the entire meeting?
Really? Has he got somewhere to be?
Well, don't worry about coming back.
But I do have a few questions, actually, but I'll probably ask you that tomorrow.
What?
I'm kind of curious. Just like how... Oh, well,
I'm
sorry.
Come on in and ask.
Why are you revisiting the sign ordinance to get, like, was there an issue that came up, or what kind of prompted this? There was a Supreme Court case in Arizona that the town lost because the Supreme Court cited that the town used content to determine which signs were allowed and not allowed.
And ours had that same fault. And so we had to make a change to it. And the way the county commissioners, a long time ago when I was first hired, and they started adopting a series of ordinances. They said, we'd like to see the ordinances remain evergreen. Evergreen meaning over a period of time, planning board, county commissioners review them to make sure that they're consistent with current law, regulations, or what the community needs or wants. And so that's why we're in this process.
So when Mark and I met, this is the one of several ordinances we're going to review for language, for Supreme, you know, court cases that may have changed the content for changing community needs. So this is just...
And even relevance.
Yeah, even relevance. So we're going through a series of ordinances to do that.
Clarify some statements. Yeah, as you've seen, we've done tonight. We've clarified some statements.
Should have been here 2 months ago.
Oh, you should have been here 6 months ago.
Thank God I wasn't.
But is that... Does that make sense? Is that... You're kind of looking at us like we're goofy or something.
No,
it's just me. All right.
Okay, so then the
you get one more.
Okay. I'm sorry, I don't want to make your list a bit longer. But I looked through the ordinance over there. I'm a little bit confused about how this is enforced.
like, if who, okay, so it's kind of like a multi-part question, but who, you know, if there's a sign on the side of the road and, you know, a random person is driving by, they're not going to necessarily know that it's breaking or, you know, that it's not following the ordinance, so they won't report. So who are the people who are looking out to really enforce this?
And why we have interns.
That would be you.
Do we want to highlight the sections within this ordinance?
Or
is that clearly assumed?
I think it's assumed, isn't it?
Yeah, because, I mean, I would strike reason. I think it's just the section.
I would cite the appropriate section. Or sections.
Clearly cite the appropriate sections.
CIT.
CIT. Yeah. I just wanted to do that.
Thank you.
Because I know you read my emails and do the same thing. So.
And if you think that it's needed in this ordinance, you could do that. But I think it's.
I think it's
very obvious, yeah.
But that doesn't sound right.
No. Officers will clearly cite the appropriate sections.
In the event of a denial, I would say. Then the officer shall clearly cite the appropriate.
Yeah.
So the appropriate sections, do we need to mention there? I'm trying to figure out how to mention where the sign violates the ordinance.
Yeah.
Or does not come into conformity. The officer shall clearly cite the appropriate
sections that will result in denial.
Actually, that is better because that ties in with the section title there. Given for denial of.
Do we need appropriate? I think we can drop that.
Okay.
That result.
That result.
Denial of the permit.
Well, that's the
that result.
Right. So if we move. In the event a permit is denied.
Yeah.
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 The officer shall.
Yeah, the officer shall.
Denial of the permit.
Yeah. Makes it less arbitrary.
Wait at the end of that. Sections that result in denial of the permit. You mind letting us read that entire thing now?
With or without the strikeouts?
If you can take the strikeouts.
That'd make it a lot easier to read.
Something with that result.
That
result
doesn't sound right.
We can track it and
provide a modified version in your packets for the next meeting.
Yeah. I'm comfortable with the way.
Clearly thought these sections violated, resulting in denial of the permit.
The sections violated, resulting.
So?
Instead of that result, resulting. Yeah.
For that, Mark.
Violated, resulting in the permit denial, and get rid of the of the.
Yeah.
And then we'll go back over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it really would be violated. Because they haven't done it. I mean, well, they could have put a sign up, but we'll work on that.
Yeah. You can say the section's affecting the decision.
Yeah.
They're impacting the decision.
Because
you're right, they haven't violated anything, they haven't put a sign up yet.
Perhaps. The sign may be violated, but they may not. It may be that you're discussing and say, well, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to go ahead and do it.
So would that be which would result in the denial of the permit? Or could, would, we've got to look at that.
Well, you just cut all that out.
We already know it's denied.
Yeah.
But in the beginning.
The sign enforcement officer shall clearly cite the sections resulting
which would
in denial.
Which would create, which would.
Resulting in the permit denial.
Okay. Okay.
How's that?
Well, I was going to discuss it at the end. I think what I would like to suggest is after tonight, let's just jump to the process now. Do you want to see this one more time?
We never got the definition.
We never got the. Let's go back to definition in a minute. But in terms of process, I want to talk about process for a minute. At the next meeting, you want to go back over this without having. What I'd like to do is put notices in the paper saying that you are considering draft changes to the sign control ordinance and run that in advance. Do we do that for the next meeting or the following?
We need an article in the Transylvania Times, as we discussed before, to let people know that there is a sign control ordinance and that the planning board is reviewing it.
How long does this meeting begin?
The article or the advertising? Technically, we don't even have to advertise. I was going to say we're going to have a meeting and here's the agenda. But what we have always done is bought an ad that says, here's what we're doing and why we're doing it, so that it's a little bit more than just the agenda and somebody having to decipher what we're doing.
Right. So, and what you do that a week or 10 days ahead of time, something like that?
If you do that two times prior to the meeting, I would say 10 days would be the period of time. County commissioners actually have to advertise. They have to advertise prior, but we don't. We just do it because it's something we want people to be aware of.
Is this something we would review on the 15th of June?
Correct.
No, because that's the joint meeting.
Joint meeting.
We've got a joint meeting, but if
15th, that's the 15th of June. So I was incorrect.
If we're talking about minor changes, though, we could review that after the meeting and sign off on it.
And then?
To be,
have
a public hearing in July.
July. That's fine. That makes sense.
Because I would like to look at a clean copy without all the strike throughs. Because I start reading and I go squirrel puppy dog squirrel minute to one of all those changes. So I'd like to read a clean copy. And
I want to see that.
Yeah.
We'll try to minimize the squirrel puppy dog.
Thank you. Maybe just for me.
Does that work for process? Process that works for you guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we might want to add that to the end of the proposed agenda.
Oh, first, yeah, we'll talk about that next.
Administration was moved. We discussed that at the last meeting. It was moved towards the front, mm-hmm. so that they knew before reading the whole thing who the sign enforcement officer was. It's building and permitting department or their appointee. And so back in this section, section 20, the sign enforcement shall have the following authority, and it's the notice of violation. And if they do not correct within 15 calendar days, the compliance order shall be issued. Would you like me to read section 20.2 for the word changing, or would you like to read that on your own?
And one strike.
And one addition. Last meeting, there was in the current ordinance, there is one more sentence in this section that was moved to the temporary sign section because it only dealt with temporary signs. So it was not modified, it was just moved. Is that? And, yeah. Any comments? Nuisance signs.
Is that defined somewhere?
It is.
Thank you.
Would you like to see the definition?
No, I trust you. I just want to make sure we knew what it's, that we're not just creating things. Yeah.
I would like to share the definition.
Yeah, okay.
I got a chuckle from the definition.
Go ahead.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Okay. A nuisance sign. Unpermitted, temporary, small, or legal sign, excluding election campaign signs. Examples include but are not limited to more than one small temporary sign on a single parcel, more than three unpermitted off-premise signs located along the same road, small sequential roadside signs or signs having moving, flashing, or intermittently lighted parts.
So it's Burma Chase sign, the old Burma light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Somebody does those on 64. I like them myself, but... But anyway, okay. Yeah, never mind. It's 40.
Well, but now can they get a permit? But they can get a permit for those, right? Mm-hmm.
And if there's only three of them on the same road, does that meet the definition of the off-premise signs or on-premise temporary signs?
Yeah, I don't think that, you know, the content of the sign's not on there. So if they have three signs like the old, like he does on 64, that's their concern. Yeah.
So these are the small temporary illegal signs, and it is providing us with a way of addressing enforcement for those, which they're what.
And wasn't that something that? Had been, didn't someone talk to us about that in public comment?
Mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly, that was one of the concerns was the small temporary signs. So we're actually addressing the concern there.
Okay. So I have, this is just curiosity, but it says, so if there's a nuisance sign, the enforcement officer can just take it.
Right.
He can just pull it up, bring it back to wherever, and then call somebody and say, we got your sign, because it's a nuisance sign. Or, what? How many of those actually have a phone number? How do you actually know who to call?
So, a lot of them. The ones for the cell phone and internet.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have to call us to be able to hook up. So, I mean,
yeah.
So they've got, and maybe it's shall telephone or email, because sometimes they have an email.
Say contact.
Shall contact.
Yeah.
But they usually have some form of communicating, dude. Otherwise, it's not a very effective sign.
The recent sign owner?
We don't know that it's the owner. It could be representative. It's the sign owner or representative. And I'm not even sure this is legal. We've got to run this by the school government to make sure. I wanted to do this a long time ago and said you can't do that. I think today, if we define this as a nuisance sign, we explain what we're going to do, I think we can do it. But this is just one of those things. We have to make sure.
I like to go to the attorney.
Attorney, but the school of government, North Carolina school of government.
Right. Okay.
I like it because then we can go pick these things up. We can put them in the basement 15 days later if nobody has done anything, put them in the dumpster.
Did we craft this portion ourselves, or did you take it from another ordinance?
We crafted it. We might be able to decide to follow up with the school government and county attorney.
I'm not really sure why it wouldn't be legal, but I'm not an attorney.
The concern would be taking out private property.
But you put it on my private property, or you put it on somebody else's property.
You put it on the right of way.
Right.
But it's still private property.
Right.
I don't know. That was what was the concern. I don't know if we define a nuisance. We never defined nuisance sign before.
So. Okay. So you think that strengthens it then?
They do.
Okay. I got another line. Before we picked up election signs that they were on our property. Regardless of the fact, call them in. Throw them away.
Or the power of life to do that.
But we did.
There are two things that we need to think about regarding this. There's a House bill about billboards that the general legislature is considering. And the election sign law may not meet the Supreme Court decision. So the General Assembly or our state legislatures may have to revisit that. And so currently, this is true.
Okay. What happens? We fix it at the time.
Exactly. Violations or penalties.
I also like the last sentence. It doesn't make it as arbitrary. We can just pull this out of thin air.
All right. So. We have read two definitions tonight. We discussed about the administration last time, but then we skipped over to section four, no, section three. So we did not get to the definitions. We no longer have directional signs as a category of signs. We have not addressed illumination. We have left the illumination the same as it was previously.
There are some ordinances, there are a lot of ordinances today that deal with the LED lights. We, previous planning board, took LED lighting to the county commissioners, and county commissioners said, we don't care. And said, we're not going to go there. We don't want to look at it. City of Brevard addresses LED lighting. We don't have anything. And the question would be, do you want to address LED lighting?
It's either lit or isn't. Isn't it? Does it matter what?
You can deal with the how bright it is. You can deal with how often something cycles. Every 5 seconds, every 7 seconds. You can have moving, where you might have, it wouldn't probably be many things, but a moving animation that could be seen as a distraction. You could limit animation as part of it. All being part of illumination if you wanted to. Now, directly is light shining on too, but we don't have anything that deals with LED.
Is LED lighting harsher, brighter?
It can be.
Like the new Anchor Baptist LED light, the light comes from inside the sign out.
I think that covers
they're being shined on it.
I think that covers that. A sign designed to give forth artificial light directly from a light source within or attached to a sign. If you got an LED sign, that's giving forth light, isn't it?
And it's artificial.
Yeah.
Okay. Dwelling unit was in the ordinance twice, maybe three times. One of them was in the definitions. One of them was how close off from a sign could be to a dwelling unit. Those two times were a change to personal residence. Do we want to define a residence or leave dwelling unit in and change those back to dwelling unit?
I think personal residence does not need to be defined. And if you substitute personal residence where dwelling unit was, I think you've got it covered then. So you don't need to have dwelling unit.
Okay.
Yeah.
We used establishment a lot in the ordinance, and it did not have a definition. So this is a proposed definition for establishment.
So where did you come up with that?
Thinking about what the intent of the ordinance was when it was used and how it may go beyond a commercial business. It might be a nonprofit who wants to have a sign. It may be a household or an institution. And so establishment can cover all of those.
Okay. So
we did look at definitions in Merriam-Webster and
that's what I was looking at.
Other areas, and some of them had households, some of them did not. Some of them had locations, some of them did not. So
we say household here. We just got rid of dwelling unit because we now are using personal residence.
So, personal residence?
I think that would...
Yeah.
Okay.
Why is a personal residence or a household an establishment?
Doggy daycare. I live there, but I have a need for a sign.
Okay.
And it's not a nonprofit, it's not an institution.
It's not
solely a commercial use.
But if they're doing that, it's technically a business thing, isn't it?
Okay.
I'm fine with personal residence here.
I don't know if you have to have a business organization.
A business?
A business, and then the question is, is it an LLC? Is it a C corp, S corp, or just business?
Business.
Business.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Business.
Government sign?
I think there's...
Indirectly illuminated sign?
Well, government sign, can we say, cut out that first part, just say a sign that is constructed? That first part's a little repetitive. It'll take out a government
just take
sign
out a government sign inside right. The definition.
Oh, okay.
I have to read a sign constructed, placed, or maintained by the federal.
A sign constructed?
Yeah.
Placed or maintained by the federal, state, or local government. Or that is required by them. Okay.
Yeah, that's. Thank you, Carol.
Don't want to spend more than 20 seconds on this, but why does government exempt itself from the ordinance?
Because it can't.
Exactly. That's exactly. And that's problematic.
But there could be reasons why you would exempt government because it's trying to inform somebody in a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think there's legitimate reasons for government too, but I mean, it's not going to be a law. It's not going to be a permanent sign forever. So I think that's why you're looking at government being able to. Government puts workers, you know, slow down workers, and wrote something like that. That's what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't want to have some merge when they're working on the road.
That's right.
North Carolina Scenic Byways, nuisance sign.
So I think if you say small, I think I would have a hard time when we say small. What is small? Are we defining that? I'm from a temporary illegal sign less than. We have, is there?
Less than, is she a felon?
What was it, the non-permitted 32 square feet?
Is she a felon? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think you just delete small.
Yeah, delete
small.
I'm all of that, yeah.
Do we want to just delete temporary too? Unpermitted illegal sign? Because it could be temporary or off-premise. But we're not going to take an off-premise sign out of the ground when it's set in concrete.
And temporary, I'd almost say temporary and portable. I think that's, you know, that's typically what I would say is portable because they're easy to pull up and move around. Temporary or portable, small.
Small than their life.
Yeah.
I think we need to define it.
Let's staff look at this one and come up with something for government the next.
I'm going to work on that one.
I think I agree with you. The nature of small would be I can take it up and move it.
I can put it in the back of my Ranger.
Right, and move it around and put it up somewhere and move it around, put it up somewhere else.
So the direction piece was added since we no longer had directional signs.
Is it the premise or then on the property where the sign is located? Off-premise sign, I understand off-premise sign, but it's really other than on the property where the sign is located.
That reset.
I think it means somewhere in there, instead of elsewhere.
You said you would do?
That reads a little odd to me. Located or conducted other than on the property. Let's see. Let me read the whole thing. I think it reads a little better with somewhere in there.
I think so too.
Okay. Are we good with that? On premise, on the same property?
Same age, yeah.
Permanent sign, securely set.
They sign permanently affixed to the ground. You pay kids out there.
Probably strike almost all of that and just say permanent sign is permitted by the county. Permanently affixed to the ground and is permitted by the county. And actually it's permitted by, because it's going to be a permanent sign, it's going to be permitted probably through the building. And I leave it as it is, but I'm just saying you could almost streamline all of that.
If you can knock that down and streamline it, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I am too.
The less wordy we can make it.
A permanently affixed sign that's permitted by the county is pretty good with me.
A sign permanently affixed to the ground and permitted by the county.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Well, it's got to be permanently affixed to the ground or a structure.
Okay.
Right, and permitted by the county.
So the concrete base isn't actually necessary?
Because it's going to be permitted.
Yeah.
And then permitting process.
You've got to meet all the requirements.
And that's
going to be bolted onto the side of the wall. And
we already mentioned that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you should put in there a little mount to fix it to the ground or structures around the whole structure.
Or another permanent.
You've got it. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's right there. Yeah. Okay. All right,
portable sign content was moved into temporary portable. so that we reduce the definitions. Scenic byways was moved up to be alphabetical because it's the North Carolina scenic byways. Shopping center. Seemed unnecessary.
We all do.
Site distance triangle.
I have problems, and the reason why we struck is measured along the road flow lines above the ground. I'm sorry, I helped write that, but I really don't know what road flow lines are.
Looks like when you're far more intelligent, huh?
I think it's pretty clear to say it's kept clear of obstructions between 3 and 7 feet above the ground to ensure visibility and safety of motorists and pedestrians, but as measured along the road flow lines. But I'm sorry,
apparently there's somewhere between 3 and 7 feet off the ground.
The one thing that we may not want to strike is at least 35 feet each way. Because we don't necessarily know how far the visibility is. And someone's eyesight might be better than someone else's. Or there might be a curve that would affect it. So we may want to think about leaving that in a way that is well worded.
Well, then you could say there, enter or cross the roadway for at least 35 feet in each direction, or something to that effect.
Is that a reasonable?
Said I'm not going to let you get it.
I can't tell the name of people watching, Miss Leslie.
Yeah.
That's why she gave me a dirty look when I said that. Yeah,
I understand that last sentence.
If the sign display area is permanent with the copy, remember the copy is those letters and the words on the sign.
Right.
So I'm not going to make the argument that it's not
I changed the copy, therefore it's a different sign. So you can keep changing the copy every 29 days to be in compliance with the sign or whatever. You can be in compliance with the ordinance unless you say that.
So think about those.
And that covers those that have, like, the electronic signs, too, right. Or you can change, you know, Thursday night it's this, Friday night it's this, yeah.
But if you leave the sign in the same spot and change the wording, it's still the same sign is what they say.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We define the Pennsylvania County Scenic Corridor.
Did we get this from maybe a state definition?
This is Pennsylvania County Scenic Corridor.
Right.
Which is a separate ordinance that the county commissioners adopted. And it's a standalone ordinance that was adopted at the same time the sign ordinance was adopted. And it identifies specific areas in the county where large billboards cannot be placed.
An off-premise sign cannot be placed.
Off-premise sign, large.
Okay.
We reviewed section 3 at the last meeting, and those changes are in there. And then the prohibited signs, the ones that were changed that appear to be content-based, time and temperature message, is content. And then
I have a hard time with that, but there is
and it's content. And so off-premise signs of any size on Transylvania County scenic corridors or North Carolina scenic byways are not permitted. And that is standard with NCDOT sign regulations and the scenic corridor ordinance. And then the two that are in red at the bottom, we now have nuisance signs.
Mm-hmm.
They are not permitted. And then we struck the temporary off-premise signs because we allowed them.
Review the process. We'll get a chance to look at all this cleaned up, and then
we will. Joy will send out probably even next week. She can send out a copy of all changes and a clean copy with everything as if it was accepted, like that. And then we have a meeting on June 15th, which is a joint meeting. Daryl, I heard you. I think you said maybe put this at the end of that meeting.
Yeah, some of our.
If we leave, I think one of the nice things about joint meetings is kind of that interaction that takes place before and after.
Yeah.
If you want, we can go and we can then say, you know, rather than adjourn, what we can do is put Transylvania County Planning Board, old business, site control ordinance, just to review very quickly and see if there's anything that you want to take action on. But we would then be looking at a July meeting where we would have an advertisement in the paper and come back one last time before you would vote up, down to submit to county commissioners. Does that work for you?
Yeah, I think by and large, June is just going to be the sign off on, okay, we're happy with the way.
And if it's not, up front, we would just say if it starts to get into a lot of discussion, then we would just kick that to a July meeting, and we need to chew the fat some more.
Absolutely.
All
We're going to have some other folks look at this too. Have we done that yet?
Sure.
Did we decide who?
We wanted you guys to be comfortable with it enough that we could take out all the striped changes and present them with a clean copy.
So that's when we advertise in the paper, and we send it to the Chamber of Commerce, send it to sign companies, and say, here are changes that we're going to be proposing. The Planning Board is looking at proposing these changes to the county commissioners. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
But it's just something that we've done to engage.
So is July public, open to the public then?
But they're all open to the public. But we would specifically be asking for comment and feedback from public and other interested parties in July. Okay. Yes, ma'am. We may need to change the way that that's worded when we send it back to Daniel. And we may want to, I'm not sure technically how we do that. But we'll have that.
All right, so I think that takes care of the old business for tonight. And that puts us in the new business. Mark?
Just a couple of things. You have in front of you a draft agenda for the June meeting with City Planning Board. And I think it's pretty straightforward. The real intent is to discuss the comprehensive plans. Daniel and I will give an update on what boards are doing, what departments are really doing. We're only going to spend about 8 minutes each talking about that, so not a lot. But then we want Aaron Bland and Joy to talk about comprehensive plans. And what we're looking for then following that is discussion of what are things of common interest that you guys would like to explore, perhaps even explore together. That's what we're proposing. With the discussion we've had here, we would close that and then have the Transylvania County Planning Board continue with the discussion of the sign control ordinance. Daniel Cobb, Joy, and I have looked at this. We're good with it, but it really is a meeting from two boards. And I told Daniel we would run this by you, and if you have other thoughts, other ideas, we want to include that. You should have one, Mike.
You would think, wouldn't you?
I think I stole yours, but I thought it was an extra copy. So I apologize.
These are much more fun with the chairman in the dark.
I know, I've noticed that.
Why are you here, Mike?
He's got one. He's got three.
Sorry,
Mike.
What's going on? Yeah. All right. It's good to meet you.
The one thing I would say about the City of Brevard Planning Department is they have started looking at their comprehensive plan and identifying those areas where they could be involved in creating the policy specifically, and we have not done that with our comprehensive plan. You may hear some reference to them discussing those specific policies. I don't know.
Well, what we heard Daniel say was that Kimsey has been on that board, so I think he probably has a better understanding. But they were trying to figure out what are we supposed to be working on? What are we supposed to be doing?
Well, one of the things that happened when we were doing the comprehensive plan is we submitted it. We did our thing due to the city commission and disappeared. And ours pretty much disappeared into the black hole. And they did their own thing, and we'd spent 15 months or so on it, and they spent another 9 or 10, I don't know how long, and never said another word to us. That's in the spring, guys. That's what happened.
We got a plan adopted, by the way, March 27th.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As submitted, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. Almost entirely. We made a few changes that the commissioner said had to be in there, but it's their document.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not your document, it's their document. So, yeah, you're right there.
I've always felt like if you didn't like what we were doing, why didn't you say so? You know, because we had some update meetings.
Was the final project
we had update meetings
along the lines of what you guys have worked up, or did they totally rework it?
City commission makeup changed during that period of time, which I think affected that quite a bit.
I think we have a draft agenda, and I think that where we have the brainstorming, that's wide open. I mean, that could be things that are in common. It could be issues, or they identify things. Hey, what are you doing? You can say, what are you doing? And so, we'll have that. Lauren, you okay with that? Daryl, Steve, you're good? You're not going to be here. Sorry. Is anybody else not going to be here? As far as you know,
as far as I know, I'll be here.
I am in Birmingham.
Where? Chicago.
You want to recruit?
Yeah. All right. So we're going to go forward with that with Daniel. We will add the sign control. Any thoughts or questions that you have, just get with Joy or and or Dave prior, and we will make sure that they all know what your thoughts are. Okay. Right. Director's update?
Yeah.
So continuing with that joint meeting we just discussed, I had the opportunity, I've never done this before, I had the opportunity to go to a national planning conference. In the 20, almost 28 years that I've been with the county, partly because I am now AICP certified, American Institute of Certified Planners. I was able to get that a year and a half ago. And you get a lot of continuing maintenance credits when you go to it. And so I talked to the county manager, was able to go. The point is this, there are almost 300 different sessions that I could have gone to. I chose 13. I chose ones that I thought were relevant to a small rural county. And as I was telling Lauren earlier, I think Joy, Kaylin, or I could probably have given any of the presentations or parts of the presentations. I think from a planning standpoint, we're really doing a lot. When you look at everything that this community is doing, you think about transportation, you think about workforce and affordable housing, you think about historic preservation, think about some of the work that we've been doing with older individuals, building permitting, outdoor sports recreation from an economic development standpoint. All of those are pieces that I thought were there, but I thought it was a very good conference. Telecommunication tower ordinance, I know that you approved conditionally upon getting the NEPA written off or write off on that from the federal government. We have not received that. The latest we have is that is anticipated at the end of this month. We have since had an individual who lives, actually his mother lives adjacent to that, write the manager and commissioner saying, hey, this is an Indian burial ground, there are problems here. And so
the Indian burial ground,
the SHPA, State Historic Preservation Office, has already cleared this, and they don't have anything identified. As you remember, I think Joy probably discussed this with you. The way the ordinance is written is if they meet all of the requirements, then it's approved.
Yeah.
And the county commissioner, planning board recommended it, the county commissioners wanted it that way for a reason. And so there was not the ambiguity of, well, somebody's mother lives on a piece of property, oh, we just found this arrowhead here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we're moving forward, just we provided the information from the last board meeting, and the permit information to the manager and to a commissioner that's asked about this, and it's just making sure they understand what you have done and what we established.
And I think that was brought out during the public hearing, exactly what you said, this is a permissive ordinance. I think that was made pretty clear.
Has there been any more noise about that monopine deal? Did you pursue that any further, do you know? Or
I'm not aware of anything more. So. Monopines are, I've seen them. I mean, the best place for to conceal a telecommunication tower is actually on a high voltage transmission line tower. If you actually are on 26 turning on to 40, there's a tower, high voltage transmission tower, and you can see an antenna array right in the center of that. Perfect. It's not concealed. You see it, but it's part of the landscape. Now, if you don't like electrical power grid, that's another issue, but
we had several of those. We even had, in one occasion, they put whatever they put in your buildings down. But we had several of those on our towers.
Last thing I have is Claudia Hawkins is the chair of the Transylvania County Community Land Trust. She gave a presentation to the county commissioners last Tuesday morning, and then this past Monday, presentation to city council. She has set up and will be giving the same presentation to the town of Rosman Alderman their next meeting, talking about the concerns that the group has with the lack of workforce housing and trying to identify ways of addressing that concern. From a market standpoint, how do you try to address this? So it's nothing that you need to do, we just wanted you to be aware of it. When we have that PowerPoint presentation, put it on our website, and it will be there, and you can see the PowerPoint presentation that she's given. That's all I have, sir.
All right. No other?
I have no other.
Okay. No public comment because the public's all gone tonight. And so we'll start over here with Lauren. Do you have any comment?
Not tonight.
Okay.
Had my say.
Had your say, all right.
I feel the same way.
All right.
I'm in Birmingham the 11th through the 14th for the National Senior Games Golf Tournament. The 15th is a rain day, so if we get bad weather, I may not be here on the 15th, but I probably will. And next Wednesday night, Dirty Dancing comes on ABC, and I will be in that movie, so look for me.
Cool.
Okay. On the golf course and in the dining
room. Right.
It's a remake.
It's a remake. Okay. When is that going to be?
The 24th.
Yeah, did you say it's going to suck? Is that?
But everything can do magic. We'll see.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Anything else?
I'm just sorry I'm not going to be here.
Okay.
15th. It was before I was appointed.
No.
Nope.
I apologize.
You're going on a cruise. Yeah. Come on.
I know.
You got anything? Caitlin, you got anything? Mark graciously agreed to write the year-end report for us. And I have a copy of it if you'd like to see it. Basically, all it does is recaps what we've done in the last 12 meetings leading up to this one, and he turned it down on the 22nd.
I don't think it's been turned in yet, has it?
Nope. No, it's May 22nd. I'm sorry. Is this May?
Yeah.
Correct. So I was just testing you. All right. So on May 22nd, it'll be submitted.
To the commissioners.
It literally goes, correct? Mm-hmm. Put together the summary of major things that's been accomplished over the last year. It is literally.
For my money, it's one of the better government documents ever done.
Yes.
One page.
That is impressive.
I like it.
The ordinance that created the planning board requires this
right.
Submitted.
The main thing that was worked on was the comprehensive plan.
Right. So that covers it. That's all I have. Thanks for being here. And we got, we're at 5 minutes till 9.
Need a motion to adjourn.
That's not debatable or amendable. All in favor, just stand up and go.
Thank you, guys. I'll tell you all one other thing about our conference. We had 12 public meetings in that process.
Mm-hmm.
We had 30.
30, yeah.
Or we had 30 in community centers, not included. Planning board, yes.
I'm not a golfer.
All right, let me ask you a question.
I did not sign up for that. I made golf shoes too, that I was going to say.